Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
You may be seated while we get it together here. We're going to be talking about stress. Is this stressful or what? You know, a minute ago I was sitting there and I felt this mist hitting my face, and I thought, oh wow, they have, this isn't going to work for my hair. I got black hair. We don't do mist. And lo and behold, it was some shoe stretch that I have in my purse. It's a can of aerosol shoe stretch. It was in my purse, and I was pressing on it, and it was spraying my face.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. You know, they say everything works together for good. I can't figure out the good in that one, but I'm just going to believe it. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
To say that I'm excited to be here is an understatement. They say you shouldn't say that when you get up to speak. I don't know about they, but I am so excited to be here. All right. I love you guys, and I thank you for coming out. I want to honor the presence of the Lord. I believe he has something very special for us today. And I don't know, it's just going to come through me. I just believe that because that's what I believe. And I want to honor Pastor Jess. But I just can't believe you just grown up like that. And you just... She is so anointed, so cute, but she's so anointed, you just kind of look past the cute and say, yeah, she's cute. You know, she's so anointed, you can't even hate her for being cute.
Oh.
Her mom is just near and dear to my heart, has played a very special role in my life. And, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have...
You can, it's up to you.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, okay. I'm not supposed to have this because I want to use my arms this morning. All righty. Okay, so I want to honor you, because let me tell you, people get up, come out on a Thursday morning. Is this Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday morning. I've been in a daze like since Christmas. And but to know that you love the Word of God enough, and I know you didn't just come to see me, but you've come because you want something from God.
Yes.
And you have to admire that remnant of women who are not so fluffy and all they care about is a new dress and a new hairdo or whatever, but they love God, and I think that's who you are. So can I just applaud you for being who you are this morning? I know you're following the leader, and that's a good thing to have a leader who sets the tone like that, who I was just so taken by the video. You're the big vision. We're going to take the city. I like that. I've decided I'm going to take my family. And I'm telling you, I'm celebrating what God is doing. Once I decided that, I'll just humble myself, say I'm sorry, I forgive everybody, everybody forgive me. I can't think of anything I did, but I'm sure I did something. But at any rate, it's just been great. My birthday was June 30th, and they all gathered at my house, and I have a picture of us just around the kitchen, in the kitchen, holding hands and praying. The year before, people were cursing each other out. But this year, with prayer, God has made a difference, and I'm so excited about that. I said, devil, you can't have my family. It was a stressful time. This morning, I want to talk to you about taming stress. We're going to talk about taming stress. And the reason I say is taming is because we're never going to put an end to it. We're just going to have to bring it under subjection. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just take a deep breath right now.
Yes.
Say thank you for being our peace. You are our peace. You are our peace. God, some of us haven't been still in a long time. So even just taking this moment now to be still before you, teach us how to receive that peace that you left for us. And we thank you for it. For a good word that's going to change us, cause us to say yes to you and no to the demands of the world, no to wrong thinking. Just no, 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 as Pastor Jess said. And we say hell, no. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I was speaking to hell, all right? Only what you thought. All right. Now, stress is unavoidable. Stress is unavoidable. Come on, say that with me. Stress is unavoidable.
Stress is unavoidable.
So no matter where we go, you know, we talk about the fact that nothing is certain but death and taxes, and I want to add stress as a third one. We're going to always have some stress in our lives, but it's how we respond to it. And I like what the Bible says in Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Say no thing. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is expecting a negative outcome. And I want you to get this deep down in your spirit. Anxiety is simply expecting a negative outcome. Now imagine that. That sounds like an oxymoron for a Christian who is connected to the all-powerful, all-knowing, always-present God to expect a negative outcome. That's why the Bible then says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, you know the rest of it, let your requests be made known. But because we tend to sometimes expect a negative outcome, not even realizing that we do, it produces stress. Stress. Now let me tell you what stress is. Stress is the body's response to threats, pressures, and danger. And we've read news stories about people getting great strength in a moment of stress because your body really prepares for it. And yet when that's over, God wants us to go back to a place of rest. I find so many people have no peace. I like to create peaceful environments around me. I like people to walk into my house and say, it's so peaceful here, because I am on a mission to make sure that I don't let stress overtake my life. And I've had so many things that happened in the last 6 months, probably been the most stressful period of my whole life in the last 6 months with the, I'm gonna tell you more about it tonight, but we had a home invasion 2 days after Christmas, and I'll give you the details tonight. But 6 days later, I had foot surgery. And I kept thinking, I was feeling stressed because I'm thinking if somebody breaks in the house, I can't even run, you know? And so I was feeling stressed, but God began to deal with me about that. And Hebrews 4:9, it says, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. There's a special rest. Come on, say special rest.
Special rest.
How many of you have had some stress in the last day or two? I don't even have to go back to 6 months. Mm-hmm. How many of you had some this morning? Yeah, just getting here can be stressful. I was on the freeway. I just moved to this area. I was living in Los Angeles, but we've been here about a month. And people drive so fast on the freeways out here, like in this part. We don't drive that fast in L.A. because the traffic's so bad, you know, you can't, you know. All right, that's y'all making that traffic bad in L.A. But by the time we get to L.A., it's all slowed down because it's all together, you know. But I was coming here this morning, and I'm thinking somebody's right on my bumper. Now, I could let that stress me. Because I've decided everything that causes me to pause, I'm just going to deal with it a whole different way. So the man was right on my bumper, and I thought, oh my. I just took a deep breath. Now he can go around me. I can get over. I'm going to do my part. I understand you're not supposed to be slow and drive like a little old lady. So I got in the next lane, but I've seen the time I would have said, they shouldn't be driving like this. People shouldn't. See, if you get stuck in Schultzville.
Come on.
You're going to be stressed. So rule number one, get out of Schultzville. Move from Schultzville. But there is a special rest. Still waiting. Still waiting. What does that mean? We haven't entered into it yet. It is still waiting for the people of God. A special rest. Oh, I like to read that. When I read it, I just like to take a deep breath. There's a special rest still waiting for me. I don't want to miss what God has waiting for me. He said, I want you to enter into that. It is still waiting. How do we enter? Hebrews 4:11. It says, let us labor. Now that makes no sense. Does that make any sense? Let us labor to enter into that rest. I mean, I gotta work to rest.
Right. Yeah.
What's up with that? I gotta labor to rest. Let me tell you, you have to be intentional. If you're gonna maintain your peace of mind and keep stress from taking a part in your life, you gotta be very intentional. You're gonna have to have strategy. You're gonna have to say, no matter what's going down. Now this morning, my husband got up. And I'm glad he's not here. No, nobody's here that knows me. But I went to the 99 cent store yesterday and I bought some glasses because I discovered we don't have any tall glasses. We have like, so I, you know, tall glasses. I said I went to the 99 cent store, right? The dollar store. So how much you think it costs? Right, dollar, right? So he came in the house and he said, one of them broke and whoever wrapped this, they didn't do a good job. I don't think it's a dollar, forget it. You know, but we had a 5 minute conversation about that. Thinking that's, you know, see, when that happens, that's why you know, your peace is challenged, because that's not important. You can't sweat the small stuff. You just got to decide that's small. You know, in the scheme of things, it has no eternal consequences. You know, I'm going to still live if I don't have that $1 broken glass. All right? So you got to not sweat the small stuff. Well, I want to give you my example of what life looks like as a stool. Now, in life, every problem you have is going to be in four major areas. And how we respond to those will be determined by how strong our foundation is. And for us as Christians, that foundation is spiritual. So when you look at this visual, I want you to really get it. Because the foundation is all the beliefs, the principles, the values that you live by. And whatever it is we believe in, the principles that we embrace, they flow down into these four major areas of your life, the pillars of your life. Every problem you have in life will be in one of these four areas. It's going to be the emotional, or the physical, or the relational, or the financial. Now, all of these areas produce their own types of stress. Let me give you an example. Most of us have financial stress. Am I talking to anybody here? Financial stress. You know, just, but you know what I'm finding? I'm a CPA by training. It's not that people need more money. Most of them just need to know how to manage the money they have.
Right.
Now, we're going to encourage you this morning. We ain't here to beat you up.
Right.
But somebody called me last week and asked me, could I lend them $14,000? I'm like, really? Could I lend them $14,000 so they wouldn't have to go back to work in September? They could just go on and retire. It was a relative. And I'm thinking, now, really? Okay. Well, I don't lend that kind of money. and they were stressing me to figure out how I was going to respond to her. Well, I already told her no right on the spot, but I was, you know, I didn't give myself permission to just say no, and I was feeling like I should have do something. So I am going to do something. I'm going to give her a little gift, and that's going to be it. But you see, if you don't allow other people to dictate how you handle your money, then you won't be financially strapped, because most of us are stressed because we've enabled somebody else to put us in a bad position. Who am I talking to this morning? See those hands going up? And so listen, we don't come here to just hear a message and go back and be the same. We're going to have a strategy. We're going to have to say, next time somebody asks me to lend some money, here's going to be my script. You have to practice it. And if you know they're irresponsible, and you can listen, I'll tell you in a minute, I don't think that'll help you if I lend you the money, but I will sit down with you and go over your budget. Let's see how we can skinny that down a little bit. See, you don't have to accuse them of being irresponsible, and the answer is still no, in the name of Jesus. Did you get that? And of course, some of us stress ourselves out buying stuff to impress other people. And I always ask the question, if everybody in the world were blind, would you buy that item? If the answer is no, if everybody were blind, would you still buy it? Okay, I mean, this is not going to make you shout this morning, but let me tell you, if you understand why you do stuff and begin to peel that back, I told you I just moved to the area. I did not want to move to Rancho Cucamonga. Now, it's a nice area, but I lived in a house that was nicer than the house I live in right now. But I keep thinking like, okay, now why are you stressing over this? I said, because somebody's going to go, oh, you moved from that house to this house? And I'm thinking, so who are they?
Right.
That house had a $400,000 mortgage. This one is paid for. Hello? Who's going to be stressed now? Okay? You see what I'm saying? So, come on, you got to be intentional. You got to labor to enter into that rest. So when you look at the stool of your life, maybe it looks like this, because this is what happens when you have the wrong principles in your life. You have a weak foundation. You don't have a strong foundation, and the legs of your life will be askew. Even emotionally, you may be feeling insecure, and that'll stress you out. Oh, I can't stand up there in front of all those people, or I don't feel like I can do this. You see, all of those things have to do with your beliefs.
Yeah.
What are you believing? Come on, say that. What am I believing?
What am I believing?
And so I want you to think about things this morning that are stressing you, or think about the things that are causing you to pause in one of these four areas, and just think about it, even physically. Oh, I don't like people looking at my hips. Listen, I just didn't want to stand in front of people, because I've been on a diet since Jesus left. And and I'm like, if you give me a podium, I want it to be this big and covered up. Is that just too honest for words? But you know what? I learned that I was formed in the womb to be his servant. I was formed. Every aspect of me is, I'm a custom job. He formed me. He shaped me. I'm 5'2½" on purpose. I have this kinky hair on purpose. I don't know what that purpose is, but on purpose. Be stressing out about stuff you can't control. And that's why you got to look at your life and say, what does my life look like right now? If I were to ask you all to draw your stool this morning, where are your legs kind of disconnected from the biblical principles? Where are you? Where are you relationally? I decided I wanted to be close to my family. I don't want to be at odds with anybody. And I am a confronter. I believe that confrontation is the key to harmony. Now, when I say confrontation, that just means coming together face to face. But that can be stressful. Even the idea of telling somebody that your behavior is having a negative impact on me. That can be stressful. But how do you do that? You got to do it, because the Bible commands it. Did you know that? Bible commands it. Matthew 18, 15. If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Go and tell him. You see what I'm saying? So this morning we're going to talk about then how do we begin to get beyond these stressors and how do we handle them in a way that's glorifying to God and we're free. I want to see you ladies float out of here this morning. I want to see you make a decision that, you know what, I am not going to be stressed. I am not going to be talking about I'm overwhelmed. Oh, I hate to hear somebody say that. Oh, this is too much. This is too much. Like, don't say that. You just, faith comes by hearing. You just heard yourself say that. I don't ever say I'm overwhelmed. I can handle everything through Christ who strengthens me. A few years ago in 2012, my mom, my husband got diagnosed with cancer. And so we planned his surgery for like a Friday. But a week before that, his brother passed away. And so we had the brother's funeral on Wednesday, and then we had my husband's surgery on Friday. And I brought him home on Saturday. And then my mom got sick on Sunday. So I said, oh my. So I had her come to my house to stay. She didn't live with me, but I thought I better just be nursemaid to both of them. And on Wednesday, I was taking her down to for breakfast, and she had a heart attack, and she died en route to the hospital. And I had a book due, and I had a speaking engagement that I couldn't cancel because it was too late. And I thought, I know the average person would have said, this is a lot. But you know, I never did stop to think that was a lot. I just never did. I remember going into the garage because I had to plan the funeral. I planned the funeral. Planned everything, did the eulogy, all of that. But I remember one night, a lot of people were at the house, and I went into the garage, and I just remember holding my hands up to the Lord and saying, God, I just worship you. I just found relief in just saying, I just cast all the care upon you. I'm not overwhelmed. You got me, and I know you got me. And you know what? God saw me through that, and by the grace of God, I was able to get through all of that. I never felt like I needed to just break down. And you know, people mean well. They said, it'll happen. One day you'll just be sitting, and it'll just overcome you, and you're just going to start crying. I'm like, really? Okay, that was 2012. This is 2017, and that hasn't happened yet. Amen. Because God is carrying me. Because I expect God to carry me. I expect God to carry me. So let me show you what happens to your body. Because listen, most of us don't realize that if we don't stop putting too much emphasis on the small stuff, we're going to be in big trouble. So here's the deal. Here's what happens to our body. What you're seeing on the screen is the adrenal glands and the kidneys. Now, the adrenal glands are about the size of a walnut, and they sit right on top of your kidneys. They act as the body's alarm system. Say alarm system.
Alarm system.
Okay, so whenever there's a threat or some danger, the adrenal glands secrete adrenaline, which is a stress hormone that says, gear up. We got to do something quick. See, and you want that. You don't want to go through life with that system not working. You know, you want something that says, quick. You know, if you see a car coming, you say, get out of the way. Everything stops. Let me tell you some things that happen. Your pulse rate increases. Your blood pressure increases. Your nervous system is disrupted. Your digestive system shuts down. That's on some people. When I'm stressed, I want some cookies. And some people. And everything is preparing you to fight or flee. So that's what happens. And so you see, that's a good thing. But you don't need to stay in that state where your body is always doing that. They call that chronic stress. When everything, you ever see, been around somebody like that? Everything's a big deal. Ooh, this happened. Ooh, listen, give everybody a break. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yes, come on.
You hear me? Stop sweating the small stuff, ladies. You know, if your kids don't make up the bed right, just let it be wrong. It ain't gonna kill it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Really. I keep trying to arrange stuff in the new house we're in, and my husband and I, you know, I have something at an angle, and he's not used to things being like that. I'm trying to be creative, and he goes straighten it out. I'm like, you know what? Just let it go and be like that. When the guests come, I'll turn it sideways when the guests come. You know? learn how to just don't sweat the small stuff. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to give you a challenge right now, so get your pencil and your paper out. Because I'm going to ask you to do something right now. And I want you to kind of draw a little graph of your stressors. What are the top three things that are stressing you this morning? Because a lot of the things that we allow to stress us, they're not even within our circle of influence. Because you see, in life, we have a circle of influence and we have a circle of concern. Now, I'm concerned about a lot of things. I'm concerned about terrorist attacks. I'm concerned about the government and the chaos that we're kind of experiencing right now. I'm concerned about those, and I am praying. And if you're not praying because the election didn't turn out the way you did, you're not lining up with the word of God. We need to be praying, all right? We need to be praying. Everybody needs to be praying for our president. Everybody needs to be praying. But say, everybody say, our president.
Our president.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. Now listen, so there's stuff within your circle of concern, and then there's stuff within your circle of influence. And I'm going to ask you to help me with this. Somebody tell me, and I'll just raise your hand and I'll repeat it. What is your top stressor? Just somebody tell me. Just name something. It's just us here. Money?
Yeah.
Okay, so you ask yourself, what is my top stressor and what can I do about it? If it's within my area of influence, that means I can do something about it. Now, I can do something about that money thing. First thing I can do is to make sure I've insured myself against lack. How do I do that? I've given God his part. Listen, once I give God his part, it's like, it's on him now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's on him. Like, I don't play that. Like she said, the devil, you got to know this. Listen, the devil don't mess with my money. I ain't
right.
playing about that now. I'm serious.
Right.
Once in 38 years of marriage, my husband and I have never not paid our tithes. Now, I say that with great humility, because there were times we needed that money to close the gap on something we may have been buying or whatever. And the enemy said, just don't pay your tithes, just, you know, for a few times, and you would have the money for that. We said, the devil is a liar.
Come on.
Nope. So one of the things you can do is to go in and obey God. And then you don't have to be stressed about it. You say, God, I've insured myself because I've obeyed you. Because guess what? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Yeah.
There's a scripture. That's Psalms 85:10. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. When you do right, there's a certain peace that comes with doing right. Righteousness and peace have come together. There's an intimate connection between doing the right thing and enjoying the peace of God. Say that with me. There's an intimate connection between doing the right thing and enjoying the peace of God. So I say, get the sin out. Now, I'm not talking about sin, because everybody don't like me talking about sin, but let me tell you something. You got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
All right? Now, also with finances, you got to say, okay, do I need to improve my skills? Maybe I can even start a side business, start running it like a hobby. Letting people stress you out and having you do things for free. Listen, I get probably, I don't know how many requests a week. Tell me how to write a book. I want to know how to write a book. Can we sit down and for lunch? It's like, do I have a sign on my face say we'll work for food? And I'm thinking, you heard of Google? If you're asking me that question, you're not ready. Because if all you got to do is type into Google.
Yeah, right.
And say, how to write a book? It'll tell you. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us allow people to stress us out. So sometimes, listen, I could stop and go and have lunch with everybody who wanted me to have lunch and talk about how to write a book, how to make it interesting, blah, blah, blah. And where would I be? Stressed out trying to finish my book deadline.
Yeah.
The devil is a liar. Amen? Okay, somebody else tell me, what's a stressor?
Family.
What does that mean exactly? Husband, boy. Kids, grown kids, that some of us won't set any boundaries with. You got those boomerang kids that just keep coming back.
Boomerang kids.
That's a good one.
And you know why they keep coming back? Because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if they came back and they had to pay half the mortgage,
there would
be consequences. I know a lot of us say we set boundaries, but guess what? We don't have any consequences. We say, you can't do this, but when they do that, what's the consequence? None. So boundaries without consequences are just wishes.
Yes.
So I would say, and then sometimes we're so afraid of being rejected that somebody's not going to like us if we say, this is what I require, until we don't say anything. And then we just be resentful. Listen, it's time for us to walk in peace, ladies. We don't have to be like that. Really, you don't have to be like that. We have a deal at our house now with our big family. When we have a potluck, everybody needs to bring something. You know, and if you're really, really having a hard time, you need to call me and tell me that I'm not able to do something, and I'll put something in for you. But you can't just show up and bring a guest, and then to my, where's the foil paper? Can I take something home? Anybody got relatives like that? Come on, raise your hand. I know who I'm talking to this morning, okay? And all I'm telling you today, and I know this isn't a shouting message, but I'm going to tell you practical things that you can do. You can say, listen, this is what we'd like for everybody to bring something. You can just, if you just bring a bag of chips, we need to know that you're responsible, because sometimes you enable irresponsible people. And a lot of parents are good for that. Now, I know you're wonderful parents, but sometimes you enable irresponsible people. And you know what happens when you enable people? You hurt them a lot. You know why? Because now you have just interrupted one of God's most powerful teaching tools, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow irresponsibility, you're going to reap irresponsibility. But if you let them sow irresponsibility and you never let them hit rock bottom, You just short-circuited what God was trying to change them, trying to teach them. I have a brother who says, he said, if you guys hadn't spoiled me to this day, I'd be much further off. I'd be just much better off. But you guys spoiled me, because he would borrow my money. The boy joined the Corvette Club, and he didn't even have a Corvette. I had the Corvette. Now, who's to blame? I'd come out on a Saturday evening thinking I'm getting ready to go somewhere, and he would be off with the Corvette Club in my car. Did I ever yell at him and say, don't do that? I said, you shouldn't do that. You should have told me before you take my car. It wasn't until I said, if you get your tail in my car one more time, I'm going to report it stolen. You can do a nice smile in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. So let's look at then. Let me just tell you some other things that will cause you to have chronic stress all the time. All right. Unexpressed expectations. I know this is good stuff. It ain't shouting stuff, but it's good stuff, all right? Unexpressed expectations. You know, sometimes we have an expectation of people and we just think they should know. They should know. We do that with our husbands a lot. I shouldn't have to tell him that. Okay, where you living? Shouldsville. I told y'all, you got to move from Shouldsville, where everything happens as it should. Everybody acts as they should. They should know. Listen, if they don't know, you just got to tell them. You know, you got to say, sweetheart, I would really like it. I'd appreciate if you would do it this way. Don't accuse, don't attack, but always get away from that Shouldsville, because Shouldsville would keep you crazy and stressed out. Amen? Now, let me tell you what one of my big stresses are. Disorganization. When I'm running somewhere, I can't find my stuff lately. I'm at this age now, hallelujah. I'm not claiming it, but my memory likes to go on little vacations. And so I can't find stuff, you know, so I'm always losing stuff around the house. So much so, it's gotten so bad, my husband's made up a song about me. Here's the song. Tell me, have you seen it? That is not nice. He said, where, oh, where did she lose it? I'm like, okay, that's enough of that song. Is that within my circle of influence? Anybody else suffering from that? Is that within my circle of influence? What do I need to do? Have a place for everything and everything in this place. So here's the deal. I don't lose my keys anymore. I have a space in a little basket right near the door, and my keys are always there. Okay, now that cell phone, we're calling it about 5 times a day, trying to find out where it is, but that's coming. Amen. All right. Let's look at how we unload this excess energy, because once you've been really stressed, then you got to learn how to unload the energy, because sometimes when you see, once you've been stressed like this, you need to say, okay, now it's time to get away from this. So I'm going to give you some practical stuff, all right? So you can worship, you can pray, and you can sing. Listen, that's stress relieving. There's nothing like totally surrendering. Come on, I just want you to do something with me right now. I want everybody to just take a big old deep breath. All right, if anybody's watching by streaming or whatever, this is not TM or anything. This is breathing in and out the presence of God, all right? But I want you to just take a deep breath, and I want you to, we're going to do this, 7. I'm going to count to 7 on the inhale, and I want you to do 7 on the exhale. And I want you to see how much better you're going to feel in just those 14 seconds. I want you to take 7 seconds to inhale and 7 seconds to exhale. We're going to inhale through our mouth, and we're going to exhale through our, we're going to inhale through our nose, and we're going to exhale through our mouth, like that. Try it. Come on. You're going to leave here floating, I'm telling you. Let's do it. Inhale. 6, 7. Exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, that's God given. That's how Adam and Eve was. God breathed the breath of life into him. Adam, he breathed the breath of life into him. This is important. So I want you to learn how to do that. Okay, now here's the other thing. Did you do it?
Yeah.
How made you feel better? There's a service. See, you do about 10 of those. You do about 10 of those when you get that phone call from somebody yelling, or when that boss, you know, comes in that you don't like and he's yelling. You just need to breathe. Just inhale the presence of God. See, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I'm just inhaling the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just inhaling the peace of God. Now say, what is your secret? Now you got an opportunity to witness. Why aren't you falling apart? Why aren't you falling apart? Because I'm walking in the presence of God. Amen? Now let's get this last one. Laugh. Some of you are too serious. You just need to practice laughing. Something's funny, get a joke book. Get a clean joke book if you can't think of anything to laugh about. Really, sometimes you just got to be able to laugh, because when you laugh, it creates endorphins, and those are feel-good hormones, and you will feel better. Oh, yeah, this is practical stuff. Now, here's the thing I want to get to. How do we prevent this stuff in the first place? I mean, this is what we just talked about, what to do when it happens. But what are some preventative measures? And here's one I want you to turn in your Bibles to. Pursue the right priority. I love studying Jesus and how he handled the pressures of life. Now I want us all to turn there to Mark 1:37. I haven't asked you to open your Bibles today, so now we're going to open them. Mark 1:37. Mark 1:37. This is so good. Is everybody there? Okay, now, so I'm going to read, I'm going to start at verse 35. Now I'm going to start in verse 32 and I'll skip around a little bit. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city gathered together at the door. Now listen to this. This is like everybody's pulling at him. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. I'm going to skip to verse 35. Now see, that was in the evening. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And I love verse 37. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." You ever feel like everybody wants a piece of you? Yeah. Everybody is looking for you. You know what that feels like, Pastor Jess? I know. Oh, yeah. I know your mama knows what it feels like. Everyone is looking for you. Now, see, I feel like that in my family. I got my family. I got all these people, you know, whatever. People just want something from me. Everybody's looking for you. Now, see, if that had been me up until about last year or so, I would have said, okay, tell them I'm coming. I'm coming. I'll be right there. Let me finish rescuing that one. But let me tell you what Jesus said. Verse 38, but he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose, what? To preach the gospel. That's what I came for. I know people are lined up out there waiting to be healed, but I have come to preach, and I got to keep the main thing, the main thing.
Yes.
I got to keep the main thing, the main thing. Yes. Come on, say, keep the main thing, the main thing.
Keep the main thing, the main thing.
You can't let other people pull you outside of your circle of what God has called you to do. You just got to be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have another commitment. That doesn't mean, listen, that's a lot packed in that word. I have another commitment. Say it with me. Say it with me. I have another commitment. Sometimes that commitment is that I just committed to myself. I'm not doing everything everybody asked me to do. That's the commitment.
I
got another commitment. Practice saying that. I have another commitment. All right. Now I got several people want to drive out here from L.A. to see me. I think anybody will come see me way from L.A., but several people are kind of newsy. They want to come see the new house. And they said, when can I come and spend a half day? I'm like, I don't have a half day to spend with anybody.
Right.
So the other day, one of my mentees from out of town, we hope she didn't get this tape. Anyway, she said, I want to come see you. So you see, I'm thinking my priority, I'm writing a book that's due, past due, blah, blah, blah. I've been approved for a TV show on TBN Salsa. So we got to get that planned because I got to meet with the little producer people. And so I'm thinking, I don't really have time to sit. So I said, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to try to block us 2 hours because I have another commitment. So I'm going to try to block 2 hours. We can get together. What time are you coming? She said, oh, around 11. No, I don't do around.
Okay.
I count seconds. I count minutes. I don't do around. Tell me we're going to get together from 11 to 1. That'll work for me. So I text. I said, okay, en route. What time you be here? She said, after 11. So I wrote her back. I said, well, listen, since your GPS doesn't give you specifics on what time, I'll be back home at 11:15. So we can be together for 2 hours. Now, see, I didn't follow my own rule. The person came and left my house at 10 o'clock that night. But I'm thinking it's your fault, Deborah, because I was clear, but I should have reiterated being clear. Just like Jesus, like, okay, but I got to go do this. So this is what I did. I wasn't a total loss. Once I got her settled and my 2 hours were approaching, I said, listen, I have another commitment, so I need to get out of here. And she said, well, do I have to leave? I said, well, you're going to be here by yourself for a long time. Well, truth of the matter, I wasn't planning on leaving the house. See, I said, I'm just have to get out of here. I'm in that room right there, so I can go up to my other room and work. Anyway, so I just left her there. Really, I just left her there, and I check on her every 2 hours. And then about 6, I said, are you hungry? Maybe we just better run down the hill and get some food and so you can get out of here, so you can get back in that traffic, you know. And but I thought, okay, what went wrong with that? I'm telling you, I'm learning this as I go, and I thought I knew it, but obviously not, because some people don't hear your boundaries. And that's why Jesus didn't let them not hear his boundaries. He said, I got to go on to the next town because that's what I've come for. And so I said, okay, from now on, with people like that, I'm going to have to just have a conversation on the phone. I can't meet with everybody. People who don't understand 2 hours, they're going to have to get 10 minutes on the telephone. Okay? Amen. All right, say amen for me.
Amen.
All right, so priorities. Pursue the proper priorities. Everything's not important right now. Everything's not important right now. How many of you need this teaching right now? You know, I know who I'm talking to. I see those hands. Because let me tell you, sometimes we pursue the wrong priorities. And here's a good question to ask yourself. Right in the midst of being pulled many different ways, you stop just like this. And you say, Lord, what is the best use of my time in the next hour? What is the best use of my time right this minute? What should I be doing right this minute? Because let me tell you, the top priority in anybody's day is to get up and to pray. And I say this every day.
Yes.
Okay. My top priority today is to pray and to exercise. I have to confess to you, some days I don't get to it till later. Because I'll start praying and somebody will call me and I'm like, oh, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you the truth. And let me tell you, one day I had a really bad time at it. I was getting ready to go into my prayer room. I had set aside this hour and I have my prayer tapes. I mean, I am set up to pray, folks. I am set up to pray. So I went to my exercise room and I thought, oh man, I wanted to listen to my CD with CC Winans and I can just really just enter into the, oh, I can just enter in. So let me go look for it. So I looked around, couldn't find, oh, it's probably in my car. So I went down to my trunk of my car. It wasn't there. And while I was down there, I saw these tapes out of order. So I said, let me just put them in order and just maybe organize the tapes since I'm sitting here. So I organized the tapes. Tape wasn't in there. So I went to my office. It's probably in my office. It wasn't there. Anyway, by the time I finished, oh, then I saw a yellow leaf. Let me just water that little plant real quick because that plant is dying. And since I'm sitting right here by the computer, let me just check the email real quick to see if anybody, something important came in. By the time I finished, I had like 5 minutes left on that hour. You know, I go back and pray. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Bless the whole world in Jesus' name. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? That will keep you stressed, because when you haven't tapped in and gotten strength for the day, you're going to be operating your own strength, and you're going to be stressed all day long. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, let's get another one. Set boundaries with your time and your talent and your treasure. I already talked about that. Let people know how much time you have. Stick to it. Let me tell you, we teach people how to treat us by what we tolerate.
Yeah.
Say that with me. We teach people how to treat us by what we tolerate. So when we let them violate our boundaries, and I'm not talking about being hostile. You can just say, you know what, this is all the time I have. When you let them violate it, you're teaching them that I don't have, my boundaries don't count. All right, you're teaching them that. Let's look at the last one. Maintain a divine perspective. This is our last point I want to make today. If you want to maintain stress in your life, you got to maintain a divine perspective.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You got to say, how is God seeing this? You got to understand that everything is working together for your good. You can't stop and say, this just shouldn't be, or why is this happening, or bemoaning something that happened. You got to say, you know what, God, you saw that. You saw it before it happened. You saw it while it's happening. You've allowed this to be today. I just want to go with the flow. What are you saying to me? That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. And that's why I want us to pray this morning. I want us to gather around this altar. And I want those of you who've been stressed, how many of you, how many of you have experienced stress in at least three or four areas, three of those legs of your life? Yeah, this is the day God has said, listen, I want you to be free today. I want you to get rid of that stress. I want you to be like Jesus. I never saw Jesus in a hurry. Did you ever read where Jesus was in a hurry? That Jesus was late? What was his secret? He spent time with God. He wasn't short and angry, didn't get enough sleep. Listen, when I don't get enough sleep, it's like everybody's in slow motion. It's like, what are they doing now? You know, because that's how it is when we don't do things God's way. And so this morning, I want to challenge every woman in here to think about every stressor and be honest about what is stressing you. Sometimes it could be somebody who loves you and they just stress you. I mean, sometimes my husband stresses me. I'm a type A personality and he's a type Z. No, type B. And we move at a different pace, you know? And he lines all his little stuff up, you know, when he washes clothes and I'm in a hurry and he's folding his shorts, one this side over the other, you know, and I get mine out of the dryer and I open the dresser drawer and I just go, you know? You know, and he's got to stack the dishes. I'm like, oh God, we could be, you got to stack the dishes. You know, my goal is just to get the door to close, you know, dish. Washer, just close. If you just close, the water gets y'all together when you get in there. You know, it don't have to be all lined up like that. You know, but that's who he is. See, so if we let people be who they are. Stop trying to make people like you. All right? If this is gonna de-stress you. When somebody gets on your nerves, you just say, "That's how that person is. That's how God made them. Well, that's how they made they suffer. But anyway, I can't change them. That's outside of my circle of influence. All right? Y'all got that?
Yes.
So I want to pray for you this morning. How many of you feel like you just need to just tell God, listen, God, I'm tired of being stressed out. I'm ready to allow the Holy Spirit to produce peace in me. I love the fruit of the Spirit, that which is produced by the Spirit. How many of you want that this morning? I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. And I want you to take some time to reflect. That's why we are here. We're not here to just hear me talk and we go home. We want to stop and reflect on how we've been running those areas of our lives. I want us to reflect on the priorities that we've been pursuing. Maybe they are the wrong priorities. Maybe they're just the wrong priorities. Maybe you're spending too much time on extracurricular activities and you're not having date night anymore because you got choir practice on Friday. Listen, you got to keep the main thing if you're going to get stress out of your life. Because it's going to always come back. There's always going to be something that's going to bring pressure to bear on you. That's never going to stop. So it's up to you to decide how you're going to deal with that in your life. As we contemplate the things that are bringing pressure to bear, we need to understand that nothing is too hard for God. We're connected to an all-knowing God, all-powerful. We get stressed when we look at our own limitations and we say, I can't do it, I'm overwhelmed. Never from this day forward will I want you to confess that you are overwhelmed. You're never overwhelmed because you're going to learn how to cast all your care before Him. And if you feel like right now you need some special prayer, just want to impart a spirit of peace, if you just want to come down and let's just come to the altar and let's learn how to cast these cares. I want you to imagine this care as something you just put in your hand and you just come and put it on the altar. And you say, God, I lay that before you. I will not cause my adrenal glands to wear out my kidneys and all of that because I'm trying to carry this load. Whatever the load is this morning, if it's within your circle of concern, that's a good thing. God put it there. You pray about it. If it's within your circle of influence, you say, God, give me a strategy. Tell me what to do next. I want you to come down now. Just come on down. Just come down. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we're not going to go back to our seats the same way either. We're going to come down and just cast our cares before the Lord. We're going to take the time to do that. Nobody looking around. We're just ready to do what God is calling us to do. We can't do this work stressed. We need to be an example of peace in the world. We talk about taking the city, but we can't do it if we're stressed out. We're all equals at the altar. We're all equals. Nobody looking around. Father, we come today because we're in need of you. We thank you for the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, flood our minds, our thoughts. Change our beliefs, the ones that are working against us, God. Help us to embrace your word. Help us to know how to toss all of our cares at your feet. Help us to know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Help us to exalt you, God, above every problem. And we've come repenting for trying to live life in our own strength. We cast that before you today. Come on, just call out to the Lord today. Call out to the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We let it go. Whatever the burden is that we are carrying, we let it go. We just let it go. We thank you. Just be still and know that He's God. Just be still. Don't be uncomfortable with the quiet. Just be still. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, whether it's financial today, we decree that every need is met, that there is no lack in this room, that you're surrounding us with favor like a shield. God, as we made our declarations when we gave our offerings, our expectation is from you. We expect you, God, to touch people's hearts, to show favor to us, because that's what you do. And we thank you, Lord. forgive us for being anxious about that. I pray for every relationship that is strained today. I pray that every woman in here would be an ambassador of peace. You said, blessed are the peacemakers. God, we decree that every woman in here will set herself to be a peacemaker, one who actively seeks to make peace, not a peacekeeper. We're not just trying to keep quiet for peace's sake, but oh God, today, show us ways that we can forge peace in our families, in our environment, so that we are surrounded with peace. We want to be such a light in the world. I pray for troubled relationships right now, God. Trouble the hearts of everybody who's not in step with you. I pray for our families, God, that you will call them in. Don't let them rest in their unrighteousness. Don't let them be comfortable, God. Let them find no satisfaction in drugs, alcohol, whatever it is that's keeping them from you. Let them find no satisfaction. And we won't be stressed by watching them because our eyes are on you. You turn hearts. Our eyes are on you to turn the hearts of our families in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray for anybody who's stressed about a physical condition today. We know you're the healer. You created us. You can recreate. Help us not to bring you down to facts and figures and diagnoses. But oh God, today we let go of the stress concerning anything physical. Our eyes are on you, the great healer, the great physician. And God, even as we look at that emotional pillar of our lives, we come against the spirit of fear. Some people are here stressed maybe about going on an airplane flight. God, help us to know that you can take care of us wherever we are because you've given your angels responsibility to take us in all of our ways, to keep us and take us in and out. We thank you for that. And so today, as we just bring ourselves before you, we say, God, we release the stress. We release it. We release it. We don't own it. It's not ours. We release it. We let it go. And we walk in the peace of God in the name of Jesus. Come on. You talk to him now. You talk to him.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.